Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Mike Check, the podcast by Mike Myers.
Hello, horny babies, and thank you for having us in your ears on this auspicious occasion. That's right, you are listening to Mike Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos.
My name is Cameron James, and I'm glad to be here with you, Lex.
Thank you so much. I needed this today.
Yes.
And this podcast is all about Mike Myers, comedic actor Mike Myers, star of Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
That's right. In this show, we watch every single film that Mike Myers has ever made just to check if it's still good. That's why the show is called Mike Check. Yes, we came up with the title first.
It wasn't first. It was the exact same time. Both ideas came into our head at the exact same time. So
yeah, you're right.
It's okay. We're not crazy.
It's cosmic, baby.
It's kismet, baby.
And speaking of babies, we've got a very special, beautiful baby guest on. I can't keep saying baby.
You sound like my mother. Yeah. When I was born.
We've got one little baby hanging out with us today.
One special baby. It was the only way I could explain my appearance.
He's special. I'm very excited to have him on the show. Great comedian and a friend of mine. Please welcome to the
show.
He's
my friend as well,
no,
guys. Let the record show.
No, let's not let the record show that. I will scratch that from the record.
Okay.
In fact, it's been cut. I've cut it already.
Absolutely brutal.
Welcome to the show, Reese Nicholson. Everybody.
Yay! Happy to be here.
So nice to meet you, Reese. So nice to meet you.
Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now,
fan of the show.
Fan of the show. Fan of Mike, maybe.
Yes, maybe you're a fan of Mike Myers.
You let us know beforehand that you said, I'd like my hour and a half back.
Yeah, but it does go for an hour and 35 minutes. So there was 5 minutes there that I was like, whoa, this is the best.
Okay, good.
During those 5 minutes, were you horny?
Yeah, I was jerking off.
Congrats, right. Dude.
So then okay. The rest of the hour and a half was like, oh, well, what do I do
so
now?
So you jerked off at the start.
Yeah, I paused it. And then
and you watched the rest of the porno.
I've got the podcast this afternoon.
That's awesome. That's maybe the third person who's ever jerked off during a film that we've watched on these podcasts, so that's great. One of them.
Great.
And
what was the love guru?
We will not tell you who the other were.
It's almost definitely Tom Walker.
Oh, yeah. That goes without saying, yeah. Tom Walker, I'm pretty sure. Thank you, and thank you for watching The Spy Who Shagged Me with us.
That's all right. That's all right. I did enjoy it. I should preface this by saying I was like, when I was a kid, I loved Mike Myers so much.
Yes.
Like, good. Obsessed. Like, over and over. I watched the commentary of Goldmember many times. It was like my cleaner room thing. Because it was really funny. Because it was like Jay Roach and Mike Myers just talking shit for 2 hours or an hour and a half. That and Ace Ventura. Those were the two things that I was obsessed with.
Well, of
when
course.
I was a kid.
And you know what? That explains a lot.
Yeah.
About your comic sensibilities.
Smokers.
Your fashion sense. It all makes sense.
Big hair kind of does make sense a little
bit. It does. And you wear I've seen you wear a blue suit.
Yes.
Much like Austin Powers' trademark, crushed blue
suit. I love a cravat.
You do? You love a cravat?
And you always say, yeah, baby.
I talk with my ass.
Yeah, you do that a lot.
All the time.
And I saw you on stage. On stage, you once drunk a cappuccino, but it was actually poo.
Yeah. And then when
That was horrible, by the way.
I don't know why I did that.
It was a really bad gig.
It was Fuck Club, what can I say?
And you really bombed.
It was reference.
I think we have talked about Fuck Club on this podcast.
Yeah, and then
before.
People tweeted us asking more Fuck Club stories. So, sure. One time Reese drank shit. There you go. That is canon. That is official. When they make the doco about Fuck Club in years to come, that'll be on it. What happened? Why did your love for Mike change?
It didn't change. I don't know. I just stopped watching. He stopped making movies. I've never seen Love Guru. Maybe have you done a Love Guru episode?
No, we haven't seen it either.
And maybe we should, let's put it on at Golden Age Cinema.
That would be our dream, is to get, because everyone we've hung out with on this podcast, not a one of them have seen Love Guru.
One has. Will Anderson.
Will Anderson has seen it, is the early one.
It sounds like something he probably had to do for work.
Yeah.
No one's seen it, and I think...
I don't even know what it's about. Like, I mean, I guess it's a Love Guru.
From what I understand is that maybe in the Love Guru, it was a character that was meant to be an Austin Powers teacher. Like, someone who taught Austin Powers...
How to be horny, how to be randy.
How to make shaggin' cool. And I think Austin did that, so maybe he did have the Love Guru as a teacher. So then it became its own movie, its own thing. And I don't know much about it.
The network ran away with it.
Exactly. I'm really worried that when I see it, I'm going to love it. And I'm just going to be this weird contrarian boy. It's like, yeah, it's funny. I get it.
From what I've heard about it, I don't think there's too much risk of that. Unless you are in some sort of horse riding accident and you're deaf blind by the time you go to watch it.
We'll see. I've never ridden a horse, so the chances if I am on one, that could happen.
If you Helen Keller it.
Yep.
Or full Helen Keller.
Yeah, full Helen Keller this film.
As people know, Helen Keller was on a horse.
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
She was riding with Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're in a film, and the director said one last time with failing.
Yeah.
And then...
they both fell off, and one of them was better off. I don't know. I'm not going to say which one.
Oh, my God.
Let's just get into our discussion of Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Austin Powers.
Crazy baby, yeah.
Is back.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
With the help of the beautiful Felicity Shagwell.
How does that feel, baby?
Lower.
How does that feel, baby?
In a thrilling adventure of intrigue, treachery, and love. But Dr. Evil is back, and more evil than ever.
I'm gonna cry, huh?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' mojo. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
Mike Myers. Mike Myers.
What are you, some kind of freak?
You mother...
Heather Graham.
Move over, Rover. This chick is taking over.
And Mike Myers.
Surprise, surprise!
In the biggest Austin Powers adventure yet.
A spy shags a woman.
Okay.
And she tells, and she talks about it. It's like The Princess Bride. An old man sits and reads a story to a young boy about a spy who shags a woman.
And shag it's me, baby, as you wish.
I don't like the kissing bits.
I don't like the shagging bits.
It's played by Peter Faulkner.
Peter Faulkner, I think, is a historical figure of some kind.
That is something, yeah.
Maybe a historian, maybe a poet.
I don't give a shit, boys.
All I give a shit about is people that are horny, and we're going to be talking about probably Mike's horniest film ever.
Okay, tell me what this movie's about.
Basically, he's back, and he's... And he's hornier than ever. Mike Myers plays Austin Powers, the international man of mystery. But this time, Dr. Evil is back. And he has a cunning plan to go back into time to 1969 when Austin Powers is frozen to drill a hole into his cryo chamber. And who's going to be doing that? Mike Myers himself. Fat bastard, who is gonna drill a hole and suck out Austin's mojo from his cryo chamber. So Austin Powers, in fact, loses his powers in the present day, or the now time, as some people like to call it. And then Austin Powers, mojo-less, must go back into 1969 and thwart Dr. Evil. And on the way, he meets Felicity Shagwell, who is another spy,
okay,
who shags him.
Okay. All right, that's enough information. I got to say, for the horny babies listening right now, watching Alexi do that was like watching an autistic savant.
What do you mean, like?
Yeah, sorry.
It was like you were reading off a teleprompter or something. Like, I was looking behind me as if there was something being projected on the fridge.
There's just one guy, one old bloke with cue cards that's just struggling to write them at the same time.
So that's
and
what
he's never
about.
Even seen the film. And he's just,
he's just heard people quote it.
That is kind of how my mind works. It's just one guy really struggling hard to come up with the next words.
That's a beautiful mind thing where you realize that guy never was, he never aged.
There was no Paul Bettany.
That was a mirror. I was staring into my own eyes.
So that's what Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shags Me is about. And
going back into time.
He goes back into time.
He goes back into time.
When did this movie come out?
1999.
Really?
Two years after, right? Like 1997 is the first one.
2 years after the first one became a big hit on video. That's where most people know the movie from. That's why our memories of the film include the scene with Rob Lowe, because that was cut out in the cinemas. It was brought back on video and DVD releases. And we'll talk about Rob Lowe a little bit later on.
All right. Sure.
But why don't we start by... This is the International Man of Mystery. Why don't we start talking about it as an international film? So the word shag is quite acceptable in America because I don't really know what it means. It just sounds like a fun little word.
It's like saying g'day about us, I think. They just think it's like a... Like it's, they know that people are British if they say
shag.
They
don't realize the colonialist intent behind the word g'day.
They don't get it.
All right.
So in most non-US countries, it was called something else, such as in Norway, the title of the movie was Spionnen som spermet meg, which is a slightly dirtier way of saying the spy who ejaculated on me. In Singapore, a title change was The Spy Who Shiocked Me, which means treated nicely. And that's not what shagging is, by the way, guys. That's not,
not the way that he does it.
Yeah. No.
The German title translates to The Spy in the Secret Missionary Position.
That's actually pretty clever.
I like that little pun.
Good. Mm.
In Croatia, the film is The Spy Who Groped Me.
Croatia.
In Croatia. In Brazil. It's The Spy Good in Bed. And in conservative China, it's The Spy Who Liked Me a Lot.
Okay.
And I found out another interesting fact about this film. In South Korea, in 1999, the Austin Powers International Man of Mystery had never been released in theaters, and it was only available in illegal videotapes under the title The Incorrigible 007.
What?
The Incorrigible 007. And in order to explain the first film's plots during the screenings of The Spy Who Shagged Me, in front of the theatrical print of the film, there was the music video for Beautiful Stranger by Madonna that features Austin Powers, and it had on-screen subtitles describing the plot of the first film. And then 1 year later, Austin Powers International Man was released in Korea under the title Austin Powers Zero.
Whoa. What, was that a rating on the film or something?
How dare you fuss that film? Actually, it goes 10 out of 10 and 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, according to me.
He was doing the face.
I mean, that whole idea of like putting Madonna's music video with subtitles is one rung above just having someone who works for New Line go to every screening in South Korea and sort of go,
give out
listen, guys.
Basically, it's the first movie, but different.
He's a spy, he's horny, and sometimes he's randy, and he's cool.
And he also cannot speak Korean. He's like, you guys know horny, huh? And just starts thrusting his hips. You guys know this?
That is kind of insane. Wow,
they
just
sent John Waters because they used to make kids movies. Like, you haven't made anything in a while. Just get out there. Go
John
to Korea.
Waters, please go. And thrust it at a South Korean audience. Please. Well, that's great. That's great news. Also, fun fact, this is an Oscar-nominated film.
Yes, this is the only in the trilogy to be Oscar-nominated.
When I read that, though, is it for, like, makeup?
Best actor.
Best
it had
actor,
three nominations.
Mike Myers. Best supporting actor, Mike Myers.
Best leading actor, also Mike Myers.
Have you just got, like, because did Jay Roach direct this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did all of them, right?
He did all three.
It's his masterpiece,
Because he's really jumped around, Jay Roach.
He has.
Like, he's made these, and then he also made that Sarah Palin biopic.
Game Change.
Game Change, really?
He did Recount as well, which is about the Florida recount with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Mm. So he loves... Austin Powers and yeah. elections. So there is
but then
two.
Again, so does Adam McKay. Adam McKay did like all the Will Ferrell movies and then these this the political one, The Big Short, and something else of his that was political. It was probably not...
Probably the other guys.
The other guys. Yeah.
But I didn't realize... And this is how big... Because you would have read this as well. It made more... This movie made more than the... More in the opening weekend than the movie made the first one in its whole run. Like, that's...
Because I think the first one at that point, it had like a decent... It was an independent movie made for very little money. Enough just to make it very stylish and fun. And I think at that point...
And get Liz Hurley.
Yeah, and get Liz. Get Liz involved. I mean, they only have to pay one actor to play the two biggest roles, so that's fine. And then they it became a big hit on video at the video stores, and it slowly kind of built this following, or quite quickly it sounds like, and then it was able to become this huge smash hit in the sequel.
Do you ever sometimes just out of nowhere feel sorry for the ladies' man guy?
Like, Tim Meadows.
Yeah, just out of nowhere I'll just go, oh.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He's great.
He's so great in Mean Girls. And then, and then just what?
Nothing happened.
Just being Tim Meadows now.
Just being Tim Meadows.
I think he's still on SNL. Is he still on there?
That Keenan guy is still on there, and he's been on there for about 40 years.
Yeah,
he was in the original cast.
Keenan actually was there when John Belushi died.
Yeah.
I don't know how many in more celebrity room. Deaths I'm going to bring up during this podcast.
Well, Robert Wagner does star in this film, so it's bound to come up at some point.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
You know about him, right? About what he did, or allegedly?
He allegedly murdered someone, but we...
He
allegedly murdered Natalie Wood in the presence of Christopher Walken. Allegedly.
Oh. And he's never spoken
about
it.
And Tim Meadows.
And Tim Meadows was there. Keenan was there.
It was one Darryl of the famous Hammond? SNL afterparties.
So let's talk about this as a Mike movie. Mike Myers.
Mm-hmm. He is in it. I'll say something, right? Yeah. So by the time this had come out, Austin Powers, the original film, was a huge cult hit in the way that kind of, I guess, Borat was.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was the character of Austin Powers had become a cultural icon.
Yeah.
But maybe... And this is only 2 years later, it had already been oversaturated. Like, people had been saying, yeah, baby, and groovy and shagadelic around the office too much.
Yeah.
People were dressing up as Austin Powers everywhere. There was the music video, obviously, with Madonna. Like, it had kind of reached a cultural point of oversaturation. So, I'm kind of intrigued by how much Mike managed to make the character still cool in a way after maybe people would have been bored of this character by now, but somehow it still works, right? I mean, you may disagree, but
I think why
it was good to see everyone. Bye. I am out of my depth in this podcast.
I think maybe why it still works is because what they were able to do with this time is they were able to change it. They gave him a kryptonite kind of thing where his power is. He delights people. He goes out, makes people have fun. He's horny. He asks people if they're horny. Often the answer is yes, because he works in that way.
Now, if the mojo he's come, is that what he's come
I was wondering
looks like?
That too, because his come looks sensational.
It looks amazing. Or is there some sort of mojo gland that he has? Because
it's
they
very
suck,
unclear.
They suck it out and then... Dr. Evil just drinks it.
Just drinks it. And it looks like water with lollies in it.
It looks like an easy way drink.
It looks to me like something you would buy at the National Geographic shop and give to a four-year-old. Like it's like a paperweight with glitter in it. Yeah. Kind of shake it up.
A paperweight filled with cum.
Yeah, it's a paperweight filled with cum. Christmas is coming up. I think you know what I want.
Yeah, Reese has an Etsy store, guys, if you want to get involved.
And then you turn it upside down, it goes, oh, yeah.
Hey, that's my material. Yeah. I think it's unclear. Are they stabbing it into his ball, or is there a third ball that is filled with mojo?
Because as a young boy watching this movie, I thought they liquefied his dick and pulled it out, and I thought they drank his dick. Because I watched this before I was ever horny in my life, so I just thought that...
I was born horny, so I have no idea.
That's called borny.
I fucked the doctor as soon as I was born.
Yeah. I came out of my mum tongue last. I want that stricken from the record.
It's in there.
I apologize.
As a boy, when he's in the scenes where Heather Graham is like, why don't we do it or whatever? And he would look down and say, I can't. I thought it was because he had no dick no more. I thought they ripped off his dick.
Like a Back to the Future photo style. Yes. Faded away.
Just fading.
Look, my family's still there. Yeah, well, I always thought, because you can kind of see through the ice. And I thought, even though he's got his hand, yeah, which I do, I wore out that VHS. That one shot of them fucking it was like my basic instinct. That's my moment. Anyways, that could have come out better. But I thought as well, even though he's coming up with his hands, it kind of looks like on the close up when the drill's going in, it looks like there's a dick there, but I can't tell if that's what they were trying to go for.
I feel like they're sucking it out of his dick.
Yeah.
Which would mean that it has cum. That's what Austin's cum looks
but
like.
But it's got magic cum.
And I reckon all those little floating things, I reckon they're little male symbols.
They are, I'm pretty sure. Because I know when his mojo smashes on the floor in the glass canister, you see those little mojo essences fly up.
So I think maybe those are his sperms, those males.
He's got those huge, sharp sperm. Yeah.
And those are its souls when it dies.
Because you believe that life begins before conception.
Life begins exactly where your pubes
life
start.
Begins...
I am a bad dictator, then. I have done many, many genocides.
I believe
you've jerked off?
Yeah.
Guys, you heard it here. Probably not first.
I've never jerked off myself. Okay. I've only done it to other people.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
You got to show us how to do it. Show me on me.
Sure.
Wow, it feels weird.
I'm just slapping my wrist.
Sorry, I thought I was getting jerked off.
One thing I did notice, though, with the still on the mojo, is that the prop department clearly couldn't work out, because when they're first sucking it out, it's like all like gelatinous and they're kind of floating in there.
Yeah.
Whenever there's shots of Dr. Evil about to sip it or something, they're just settled at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like they've just kind of dropped some marbles or something in
there. Shake the mojo up.
You got to shake the mojo up. It's like an oak. You got to... Yes.
You got to resettle it.
Yeah, you can't. Anyway.
Yeah, and does it look tasty to you guys?
Well, yeah, because it makes you become a sexual person. So that I'll drink that. You know, if I'll drink anything that when I drink it, I instantly become in soft focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and people around me just start giving me sex eyes. I'll drink anything.
It's a hallucinogen based bubble tea.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah,
It's got little...
That's exactly it. I want to get one of those big, thick straws for it and suck
and
those
and suck that little tapioca
out of it. Those thump, thump, thump.
I wonder if that... Because it was... one thing that I thought about Austin Powers, it's one of the first big... Not maybe first, but there was a lot of merch that went with it. Like, a lot of, like, keto. Well, and I wonder if there was somewhere... Maybe even in a pitch meeting, or if they even made it just cans of mojo that they pitched to sell.
The first energy drink.
Yeah. But people were like, are we selling... Jizz? Is this jizz that we're selling? Like, they need to talk to the writers and be like...
They probably wouldn't have thought that till they saw the international title translations.
Yeah.
Like, oh, in Germany, it's called Austin's Cum. Maybe we shouldn't be selling this.
Austin's Cum.
It's not even clever.
And is it ownership of the cum, or is it like, he has cum?
Austin has cum.
Austin's cum.
Wow, this is highbrow.
I think this is cool.
I think so too.
So we're talking about Austin Powers Spy Shame, if you've just joined us for some reason.
Yeah, you're resetting it like it's radio.
Yeah. I always skip right to the middle of a podcast.
What are these guys talking about? And you just hear Austin's cum.
So that's the whole drive of the movie, basically. Watching it again, I was kind of like, oh yeah, what's the plot of this? Oh, that's right. The whole movie hinges on...
Osteoporosis. It's all about osteoporosis, which is Austin Powers' full name. Osteoporosis Powers.
Danger Powers. He's trying to get horny again at the same time as Dr. Evil's
trying to get horny for the first time.
Yeah, plot to take over the world happens. They kind of don't even really cross over, both those stories, which I sort of like. I kind of like that this is almost just a Dr. Evil movie. Like, it's probably 50-50 between the two of them. And I think that's awesome because Dr. Evil is, I think, one of the funniest characters.
He's amazing. An amazing character.
I mean, do you...
many layers. So many levels. I did enjoy rewatching it in a nostalgic kind of way, in a similar way that you would maybe go and see Aqua. One thing I became obsessed. I even kind of back and forth a little bit, rewinding, so you can look at the now time, is like, the amount of time that is just spent with him walking off screen going, yeah, but, like, just saying his catchphrases out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
out of nowhere. Like, there's a bit in the car where him and Felicity Shagwell are driving, and she says something like, oh, not if I can help it, and it just stays on his face. Just doing random faces for a good 20
that
seconds.
That is a... I know exactly what shot you're talking about.
He kind of goes that- like, oh, oh,
yeah.
oh. And then his eyes just go insane.
I always wonder why
there.
They left that in. Like, they had a lot of choices in
It wasn't
film.
Running short.
No, not at all. They could have cut it out. It was a good 30 seconds. I wondered... There's a couple, too. You know how between... scenes it sometimes cuts to just Austin dancing
yeah
or whatever. There's a couple of those where it's just him staring at the camera
yeah
with like a manic look in his yeah. eyes, not doing anything, just staring at the camera.
Well, there's at the very start that? When he's in the dance sequence when he's naked in the hotel room, not getting arrested by the way, he comes in and there's a woman in it with a makeup compact
mm-hmm.
and rewatch it. He's standing there for a long... It's it like they hadn't told time. The actress to go, and now...
Snap it.
Yep. He's standing there waiting.
Like they were yelling at her.
Yeah, and she's, oh, sorry, and then snaps it shut. Mm. It's like 10 seconds.
It goes for a long time.
Yeah.
And also, you're right, that is a scene of sexual assault. That is Austin Powers. He has just found out that the love of his life is a fembot.
Liz Hurley.
She dies. It's very tragic. It's, in fact, as someone who's newly married... You know, it's...
I hope she explodes.
Yeah. I hope my wife blows up tonight. It made me sad to go, oh, this poor guy has lost the love of his life. But then very quickly, he's happy to be single again.
Way to tick. I'm single again. Yeah. As if you don't feel that feeling.
I don't feel it.
Okay.
I feel sad. But then again, I haven't experienced it yet. But then he's like, his first instinct isn't, I'm going to go out and just have a good mm-hmm. time, maybe take some girls on some dates. He's like, no, I'm going to sexually assault everybody
entire hotel.
In this hotel.
But he's shagadelic. It's okay. I heard a quote from Jay Roach where he said that he never thought of Austin Powers as a fish out of water movie. He's a fish that brings his own water. And when you're there with Austin Powers, he hasn't lost his mojo yet there. He's got that supercharged mojo that brings everyone into it. Everyone gets excited to hang out with Austin Powers and just get into his energy. And that's what he does. In that scene where he's completely naked running around a hotel with a baby, looks right down his dick hole.
And his reaction is to go, "Whoa!" and then stand there for another 10 seconds. Yeah.
While a few names flash across his junk. It's, you're right.
Do you think
though.
He was naked?
Definitely.
He was wearing a little socky.
A little sock, you reckon? Yeah.
I listened to the director's commentary for this film today, and he was wearing a sock.
Was it with Mike Myers
but
as well?
But it had a drawing of his dick on it.
An exact drawing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a photograph.
They got a courtroom sketch artist to
to do it live.
I must say, the one joke, the joke that I actually laughed at mm-hmm. out of not nostalgia reasons is
best
the...
Best gag?
And this, maybe not the best gag, but mm-hmm. I just think it's kind of dumb funny, is when he says to Basil, she was a fembot, and Basil says, yes, we knew all along, unfortunately. I just think that's a really dumb, funny joke.
Yeah,
like,
I
that's
think so
quite
too.
Funny.
That's a great way to kind of let the audience know, yeah, we know this is a cop-out. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry, we're aware that this is a massive cop-out.
And when Basil, I think, like, what's his name? John
Michael York.
Michael York.
Yeah.
Who, it's done not too many other things than this and Cabaret.
Cabaret.
The two.
He's in a Mike Myers movie, 54.
Oh, that's right, he was.
Yeah. What's 54?
He's in it.
You don't know it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's about Studio 54.
Oh.
It's an iconic gay film that is really bad. We had Adam Richard on to talk about it, and he just talked about how it really is the worst thing for queer cinema. He's like, yeah, it's really set the gays back. Which, it's awful. But anyway, Mike's good in it.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's a good gag. Mm. I like, I'll tell you, you've brought up a good point, Lex, which is that when I think of Austin Powers, obviously everyone's done impressions of it around The Office and shit, so it's been oversaturated, but I think whenever I see it on TV, I will always end up smiling at some point.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think that Mike Myers brings so much joy to this character that he's so shamelessly mugging. He's like going, he's hamming it up so hard. And he's unafraid to look stupid and ugly and uncool. And in a way, that's really kind of mesmerizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's similar to stuff Jim Carrey does with Ace Ventura, where you just kind of go, wow, I can't believe someone is going so insane. Like,
and then to also, like, if you think about how a movie is made, they did that like 12 times.
Yeah.
That thing, especially the some really full-on acting when he's shitting out Mini-Me into space. You think, like, how many takes of this did they do of him pretending to shit out a midget into space by really straining his face and really... Anyway.
I know, it would have gone on for so long.
And it's insane to me as well. That's why I think Mike is such a brilliant actor, is because he's playing three characters in this movie. And...
And he's not... jumping in between costumes, by the way. They do it chronologically. It's really expensive.
He's an SNL guy. It's live. But it just, it blows my
every time you watch it, it's live.
Yeah. Live from New York, it's Austin Powers, baby.
This is a dumb question. Austin Powers was not an SNL character, right?
No. He was a character originally, tried out as part of Mike Myers' band called Ming T.
Yes.
Just like BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, BBC Five, BBC Six, BBC Seven, BBC Heaven. You know that song?
Yeah.
Don't know it. Can you sing it again?
Nah. So he was the front man of that band. Austin Powers was the front man of that band. And so the way he would try out the character was like in patter between the songs and stuff.
New York in the 90s.
Yeah, it was a crazy
place in the world.
And so I really, even now to this day, I have to try and remain conscious while watching this film that he's playing both Fat Bastard and Dr. Evil. And Fat Bastard, by the way, in promotional material to this day, is still called Fat Guy because I can't put Bastard into print.
Really?
So if you look up on eBay, try and find some Fat Bastard merch, type in Fat Guy, you'll have better luck.
How, one thing that fascinates me as well is they work so hard on naming all the characters.
Yeah.
Like Felicity Shagwell, Ivana Humpalot. Mm. Then they get to Fat Bastard. There's, like, not even an... I remember being little, like, being young and trying to work out the joke. Yeah. Like, what is the...
Is it
a play on something or... No, he's just fat. But they're still selling it as his birth name. His name is Fat Bastard. Like, it's never sold as, oh, this is his nickname because he's fat. It's his name, Fat Bastard.
There is a Mr. and Mrs. Bastard out there.
Who gave birth to a gargantuan baby and just named it Fat. Like, it's not even, like, a Scottish name. Like, you'd think they'd really go hard on a Scottish...
Yeah, they could have gone, like, McBastard, at least.
Or McRibs, or, like, you know, McFlurry, or...
Call him Fatty. Fatty even sounds Scottish.
Fatty McBastard is a better character.
Fatty Arfuckle, or something. Yeah. Or, like, some sort
did
of...
Did you say Arsfuckle?
Yes. I didn't, but that is great. If he was a big, fat Scottish gay guy. If he was a Little Britain character, if Little Britain and Austin Powers had a crossover, it would be Fatty Arsfuckle.
I would watch that crossover.
That's my drag name now, by the way.
I would jerk off in the first 5 minutes.
Fatty
Arsfuckle's a good one.
And I get away with what could be a rape. Anyway.
But he doesn't... Why would he need a better name? He's just a fat guy that talks about being fat and being gross.
What was the conversation in the writing room?
I tell you what it was. It was probably, all right, we need a third villain character. Yeah. Hey, Mike, you know how you love to do Scottish accents?
Because my dad was. Yeah. And I lost him at a young... Anyway.
Okay, Mike, stop bringing up your dead dad. It's been 10 minutes since you brought him up. Remember, we promised 20 minutes at least. Okay, how about you just do that accent? Is that cool? Yeah, that's cool, but he needs another angle. Okay, how about he's really fat?
Oh, but what are we going to name the guy?
How about Fat Guy?
I like my things to be raunchy.
Okay, all right. Fat Bastard, then.
We got to print it.
That's
print the script.
The whole character... I mean, I think it's so funny because it's so absurdly dumb.
Yeah.
But the whole character is him just talking about how he's fat... How he needs to shit.
Yeah.
And how he's going to eat a baby.
How he's going to eat a baby.
Yeah.
And then also about how sexy he is. There's a lot of
layers. Is he sexy?
He says it a lot. Do you think he's sexy?
Well, sometimes I believe it when people say things, but maybe to a certain audience he's sexy.
Well, I mean, do you find it sexy to watch a man eat a chicken wing and then rub that chicken wing on his nipple?
Tell me, is it...
I'm trying to...
Which man?
I mean, it's a big Scottish man, and his first name is Fat.
What's his last name?
Bastard.
What's his middle name?
Danger. But Mike Myers described a Fat Bastard as a three-chord punk song because there's no subtlety to it at all. It's just big and fat.
That's true? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, then I respect it. At least he knows what it is.
His skull was to just kind of just make something that's just only crass. He's like, just want to have fun doing the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Well, he succeeded.
I don't know. Goldmember's pretty far up there. Did he continue it anyway?
Goldmember is the worst character in the canon. I'll say that much.
He doesn't even make physics sense. Like when he lifts up both his legs and then spins around. Like, what are you hovering?
We're not up to it yet,
okay,
guys.
Okay, sorry.
We don't
want to. Sorry.
Let's live in our time, please.
But what about the other characters in this movie? I'll tell you who I love. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite characters is Ivana Humpelot.
Yeah.
Oh, Kristen Johnston.
Because I love Kristen Johnston. Yep. I think she's so funny. And also, she makes me horny in this scene.
Yes.
It's a great scene. I think it's such a genius comedy move to try and make chess sexy.
Yeah.
Because it's not sexy at all. I think it's a reference to the Thomas Crown Affair where they made chess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's like very, like, seductive, like, oh, you make this move? Well, I'm going to fuck you.
Oh, knight to b3? Well, I'm going to suck your ball.
Take this, bishop.
I didn't
get the game. Sorry.
When he's tickling that little bishop, is so funny.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny that he pretends one's a pimple.
Yes! I noticed that today as well. Like,
because in this world, Austin is sort of a comedian.
Do you think they use, like, raw footage of the takes, like, in Guantanamo Bay? It's just showing, like,
Mike
20
Myers
minutes.
Ripping for 20 minutes.
They just give him, like, a chessboard and he just
the
gets
worst
going.
Whose line is it anyway? Game.
Okay, scenes from a chessboard. You are a sex offender.
There must have been so many other ones where he was picking them up and pretending they were clits and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There would have been so many cut gags.
Oh, it's great.
I thought it was funny.
I think it's really
funny. She's really funny and she manages to be... I think she's one of those great comic actors who can be sexy and repulsive at the same time.
When I was watching it today, I thought, like, she's in that outfit,
yeah.
like, kind of hot. Like,
oh, yeah.
really. Like,
she's
got incredible legs.
Yeah. She's a babe.
Yeah.
But she's also unafraid to look like a psychopath or, like,
yeah.
make herself unappealing. Like,
yeah.
she's... Man, she should be in more things.
She
I love The Rock from the Sun. I want her in more things.
Do you think her and John Lithgow ever had a thing?
Oh, that would be my dream.
Now that's something that makes me horny.
I like in that show because they're aliens.
Yeah. Do you think she... Do you reckon she took Justin Long's virginity? Not Justin Long.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, I'll answer both questions. Yes and yes.
Yes. They, why did I get them confused? Are they quite similar?
They're both white. They're both cis.
I think, yeah, all you white cisgender people look exactly the same to me. And I say you.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
This is me coming out on your podcast. intersex.
Oh.
I'm horny.
You're really
intersex. I'm intersex.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Thank
that's
you.
And goodbye. It's very on brand for this show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Austin's relationship with Felicity Shagwell, played by Heather Graham.
Sure. What do you want to say about that relationship?
I think it's cool. Thanks, guys. No, I think she's such a great character because she is such an antidote for Austin, for Vanessa, the passing of Vanessa. Vanessa is very, very...
God rest her soul.
It's very tough for Austin to hang on to this, got to move on from his grief. But Vanessa is very representative of the 1990s, that kind of British sharpness, you know, very proper. And so the only way for him to get over this is to give him someone who's his equal or maybe even more Austin than Austin. I think Heather Graham is so great in this movie. She's really funny and absolutely charming. I think the character is such a good blend of kind of like Jane Fonda as Barbarella,
yeah,
or even kind of Goldie Hawn or Bridget Bardot in some scenes as well. I think she's just perfectly cast in this film.
It's kind of like I heard that they decided to cast her because like Hugh Grant had just had sex with an American prostitute as an antidote to his wife. And so they thought, right, what is quintessentially American? The one antidote to Vanessa is close to a prostitute.
An American woman, Heather Graham.
American woman.
Mm, that's my favorite Lenny Kravitz song. American Woman. No, I think she's great in it, but I think on watching it now, I realize just how little she has to do. Like, she is a one-note character.
She does a lot. She does one very big thing in this movie.
What, fucks fat bastards?
Yeah, he's very big.
Yeah.
And she has to act like she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Well, that scene on watching it now made me real sad.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially when, what's his name? Basil Exposition says, remember Heather Graham. You can do it by any means possible. And you see her eyes fall, just like, I guess they're telling me to fuck someone again.
Oh, being a woman spy in the early and late 60s was terrible.
And then I just felt so bad for the poor thing. Like, she could have surely just, I don't know, stuck it in his pocket or something.
Yeah. What? It only occurred to me that for some reason, when I was a kid, and I hadn't thought about it very much, I thought she stuck it in his, like, crack.
Oh, mm. Yeah.
But now watching it, very clear, she's just jamming it in his arm.
She runs it in his... Well, he shits it out, so it's probably quite up there. It's in his bowel.
Like, what? But...
She fists it up him.
She fists it up him. And he says, ooh, frisky are we?
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah, he wants a finger.
Well,
up
he's
there.
A sexual loves being. He's Fat Bowser is a sexual being.
Can we take a moment to just think about what a mess it would be back there? Oh,
I mean, those prosthetics, even when you see that shot of his ass crack.
Oh.
I mean, I got horny, but after the horniness, after I came and I had a good look at it, I realized that those prosthetics are just the most revolting things
and
I've ever
so
seen.
And they're so slimy and shiny.
They've made him look, you're right, like this punk song element. Mm. Like, they've really made him look as disgusting as anyone could be. He's covered in grease, like chicken grease and shit.
And he's got that fluffy red hair everywhere. His hair is so... His pubes are so fluffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think they put a dick there?
Definitely.
Like, there would have been some if, like, maybe there's a joke we can do if we get away with it. But they've covered it up.
Like, I reckon just the props team were like, yeah, let's make a fake dick.
It'll be funny. And it'll be like a tiny little dick.
Yeah, with heaps of pubes. Like mine.
Yeah. Just a little cashew.
But also Heather Graham, the one bit that really kind of annoyed me, you know the scene where they're dancing to Burt Bacharach and Elvis Costello?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, it's the scene that would be the boy and girl falling in love in a normal rom-com.
It's the scene in the first one where Vanessa and Austin are on top of the bus and
Burt Bacharach plays. It's a recreation, basically. Yeah. You could almost say Mike Myers is lazy, but I wouldn't go that far.
No, he just lost callbacks and that's allowed in comedy.
So that moment, it's quite...
I'll make the call.
It's quite sweet and nice. And they're dancing and he sort of says something to her like, you're quite good on your feet. Where you'd think she would come back with quite a romantic line to counter that, but she says, I'm even better off them. And it's not played in a sexy way. It's just like, oh, that's all this character is.
Yeah.
Like, she's not even allowed to be
But she's
sweet.
His equal.
Yeah, but she should... He's being sweet. Why can't she say something equally sweet?
Well, because he's got no mojo. She's fucking horny. That's
right. Right, you're right.
He has no
He has no mojo.
Yeah.
Do you think she came with Fat Bastard at all?
I often wonder that, but I don't think women come.
From experience?
Like, I've never met one that's come.
I've never been able to make one come.
No, well.
And I've tried. I've looked at them.
Yeah. Have you yelled at them to come?
Yeah. I shout at them.
On the street.
Come!
And they just follow you?
Yeah.
They think you're leading them somewhere? Yeah.
God, I'm the Piper of women.
You're so suave.
Why do you think women love gay men so much? We just shout at them to come.
They go, oh, is he taking me shopping?
Yay! Nah.
No, just want him to...
Don't have any money, mate.
Want him to squirt.
Let's talk about Dr. Evil. Oh, should I say that thing about Heather Graham, the one that you read? Do you think that's good content?
I think it's pretty... Like,
do it.
I think we should be careful with how we word it, but it's pretty interesting. Only the wording of it, I think, is quite interesting because it's almost... and I don't want to get all feminazi on you, but it's a little bit misogyno the way that they've worded it.
I'll read it. This is from the IMDb trivia, exactly as how it's written on there for this film. I didn't write this. I copy and pasted it. That's it. When Heather Graham was asked to audition for the role at Mike Myers' request... She was saved from a porn career. Before she was called by her agent, she was seriously considering accepting a major part in a softcore lesbian movie after not having any meaningful film roles in close to a year and a half. The first thing she did after getting paid for this movie was buy a copy of the porno she would have been in.
Is that true?
This is what I mean. Like, that... Maybe she said in an interview once, like, oh, God, I would have gone into porn or something.
Right.
Or, like, or they've asked her in, like, a Graham Norton-style show, like, and you've been offered quite strange, like, things. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I was offered to be in this lesbian
That was
once.
Really good,
That's
by the way.
That's a great setup for a guest story.
Yeah.
You just make a good talk show host.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. I'm really good.
And she's just gone along with it, and it's become part of a myth. I've never heard that before. That's
Stop yelling at me.
I mean, I'm angry.
It was also quite poorly written on IMDb. I corrected a few grammatical errors.
It's almost like it was written with one hand because the other hand was jerking off while imagining this porno.
It almost sounds like maybe Mike Myers wrote that in the last couple of years. Like, well, you know what? I saved Heather Graham's life. She was going to be in a lesbian movie at my request. And then someone had to lean over and go, you should change it to at Mike Myers.
Do you think she was just about to walk into set at the porno and then this butler came and said, upon Mr. Myers' request, you have been called to the set of The Spy Who Shagged Me. It was also Basil Exposition.
Yeah. Oh, Felicity.
Heather Graham.
Now, remember, you must do anything to get this film role.
Oh, God.
And she had to have sex with him in the Fat Bastard role. Like, that. They didn't even know that Michael scene wasn't going to go in the movie.
That was a porno.
That was just a porno that they made.
Oh, God.
And it was a screen test and it wasn't meant to go in the movie.
That's real depressing because that means, I mean, in a year and a half, is that how fucked the industry is?
But then she got Bowfinger as well. Same year.
In the same year.
When was Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights was 96 or 7.
Which is what I reckon they've also got it confused. Like, she plays a porn star in Boogie Nights. Also, in the last few years, she's played a porn director in some movie, whatever that was.
Lost in Space?
Yeah, I've seen GIFs of that film.
She was in Lost in
Space. Yeah, she was in Lost in Space.
She played the robot, right?
Yeah, she was the robot daughter who kissed Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, I love it. So sexy.
I wonder what the age difference is. No, they'd be the same age. You know how there's some people that are just crystallized in your mind? Like, to me, Matt LeBlanc is always Friends.
Yeah, he's always
Matt LeBlanc. But then you see him come up on something and you're like,
he's
whoa!
Gray, yeah.
Oh, God.
You see him hosting Top Gear. Because we all watch Top Gear.
I love cars.
We're blokes.
Yeah, blokes love cars and tits. And tools.
I put a pair of tits on my car.
Whoa.
And I made the car magnetic so I can stick my tools on it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You're so intuitive.
I put a little pair of tits on all my tools too. My drill has a little pair of tits on them.
Can I tit fuck your drill?
You may.
Thank you.
You mean that?
It's happening live. Live from New York. It's tit fucking a drill. Sorry, I don't know
dun,
why.
Dun, dun, dun,
I don't know why.
That is a podcast waiting to happen, by the way. Tool time. Just watching every episode. Because I want to do one of Murder, She Wrote. I want to watch every episode of Murder, She Wrote.
What would you call it?
Murder We Watched. No. Murder I Did to Myself because I watched all the episode of Murder, She Wrote.
What about Murder, She Woke? And you see if it can hold up to today's harsh cultural climate.
That's really great.
Let's talk about Mini-Me before we... Because we're getting near the end of things. Mini-Me played by Vern Troyer. Or let's talk about Dr. Evil. What?
Just the idea of seriously discussing it, and you're going, no, Mini-Me, played by Vern Troyer. Like,
yeah, played by Mr. Vern Troyer.
The absurdity of this podcast is revealing itself to me.
You're like inside the actor's studio.
Yeah.
Now, in 1999, you played Mini-Me.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. That's his voice. Yeah.
It's the only noise he made. He just made, that's the old thing he does in the whole movie. Now, is that meant to be... There are so many... I was confused when watching this, whether the jokes that they're making about him, are they based on the fact that he's a tiny man, or are they based on the fact that he's a clone who is not very smart and is a baby? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's that he's a clone who's much smaller, and yet Dr. Evil loves Mini-Me so much more than his true son, Scotty Evil.
Yeah. Mm.
In like a Marlon Brando, Island of Dr. Moreau way.
Yeah.
He's got his own little...
But he absolutely loves Mini-Me. He loves him so much. And I think it's so beautiful. And I think Dr. Evil's relationships in this film are so funny and so great. Because it's kind of like, it's got all these weird office-y type relationships, like office romances with Mindy Sterling's character, Frau Farbissina. Those two together is so funny.
Yeah, they're great.
And the love scene with them where you can see Dr. Evil's nipples, I think is one of the funniest
Which are Mike Myers' real nipples.
Very dark nipples. Yeah. Very dark. That's why Austin has the hairy chest, so you don't see him. And then him with... Rob Lowe is really funny as the young Robert Wagner, number two. And
now, is this before or after he murdered his wife?
This is much after. In fact, Rob Lowe, he developed the impersonation of Robert Wagner many years ago because he used to have a relationship with Robert Wagner's daughter.
Until Robert Wagner murdered that daughter.
There is an interview that I watched.
Allegedly. Allegedly. And Christopher Walken was there for that as well.
He's always hanging around. And the ladies' man, always there.
He was in the full ladies' man costume as well. It's really weird.
So there's a weird interview that I found with Robert Wagner talking about this film and Rob Lowe. He's like, yeah, so he was around quite a lot. And, I was always there keeping an eye on him. It's real weird the way he's talking about.
Make sure he doesn't say anything about the time I murdered my wife.
And then he pauses and goes, allegedly.
Allegedly. And then he blinks really hard and clears his throat.
And then goes into the bathroom and they leave the mic on. And it's the best end to a documentary ever.
Imagine what Robert Wagner played in the Robert movie Durst. Version of the Robert Durst.
That'd be,
just this fun just be meta joke.
Perfect casting.
Well, wouldn't that be incredible if during an interview for The Spy Who Shagged Me, he was like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And then a real, oh, jeez, they've got me. They finally got me. They've gone up to me.
I mean, yeah, I would love that. I'd love to. And they just included it on an extra DVD.
That's early on the Blu-ray, so like 20 years later.
Or if he got caught, if he was on, because he was on Graham Norton, Robert Wagner, not long
what,
ago.
What, really?
Oh yeah. God. What like, was he talking about?
About that show that he used to be on, that crime show. The one that they made when he started murdering his wife. No, it was on, what was the show, like the
when he
80, 90s
oh
kind
God,
of show?
What was he in?
He was in like a double act, like him and a woman, and they solved crimes together. Anyways,
cool.
I was more just thinking it would be great if they just kind of asked him, and so you murdered your wife? And he just went, yes. Oh, fuck.
Graham got me. Got my defenses down.
The police have been trying to trap him for years.
The Graham Norton show has just been a sting operation waiting. Just this waiting this whole time.
As soon as they get it, all the sets start coming down. And like,
yes, I'm actually a cop.
Graham Norton's not even gay. It's just all been a ruse.
But Mini-Me, played by Vern Troyer.
Well, one thing, I liked what you brought up about Dr. Evil's kind of workplace comedy in this, because I actually think they're the funniest jokes for me in this movie. Like him having awkward tension with Frau and his... I think my favorite joke in the movie is the whole Jerry Springer scene.
Yeah.
I think it's the funniest part of the movie. It feels like an SNL sketch. Like it's like... a perfectly written SNL sketch.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't know who Dr. Evil was and you just saw that on SNL, it would be hilarious.
Because it's bringing this absurd character into what is something absurd in our real world.
Yeah.
And Jerry's game for it.
Yeah, Jerry's great.
They ask him, like, what's something that you've never done, you've always wanted to do? He's like, well, I've never been in any of the fights on the show. And that's why he joins in on the Scrapple.
Oh, that's the best. I think it's the best gag. And my second favorite gag is... when Dr. Evil and Frau catch up with each other for the first time since shagging. And it's awkward.
Over the craft table.
Yeah, they're at a craft services table for some reason, which I love.
Yeah.
And they just have that awkward back and forth. I think it's so funny. Like from both of them. It's great performance.
She's such a great performer. I think one of my favorite bits, which is just like, I think one of the weirdest out of left field scenes in the whole film, is when Dr. Evil and Mini-Me rap Just the Two of Us.
Mm.
And I think there's something about it that I find absolutely charming. And I did a little bit of research into how this scene kind of came about. And Robin Rusin, who we've talked about in our last podcast, who is Mike Myers' real-life wife at the time, she said to them, she's like, I love how much Dr. Evil loves Mini-Me. He loves him so much, he should sing to him. Mm. Like, oh, okay, great. And then she went away like 20 minutes, wrote this whole rap.
Really?
Because she was a writer on SNL. She's performed a lot of comedy and stuff. And so she wrote that whole rap song for them to do. And she said she wanted to tap into that paternal instinct that Dr. Evil has to sing to Mini-Me.
That's great.
So I just love that even like the dumbest, silliest jokes come from such a really positive place in this movie.
Yeah, that makes me like the gag even more. Because I feel like it's a bit dated, that whole like doing... Like
rap.
Doing rap. Yeah, like kind of a... Like the joke is that he's white and he's doing hip-hop. Like, but hearing...
Wait,
that,
can you explain it?
You know, like Eminem, my favorite comedian.
Yeah.
His like parodies of rap.
It's my favorite kind of chocolate too.
Oh, ever been to the Eminem store? The Marshall Mathers store?
Yeah.
In Times Square?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I'm Stan, by the way. I understand that song's...
Yeah, I'm a Stan for Mike Myers. I'm pretty sure that is true.
Did you start that, like, online streaming website?
Yeah. So, I think, the gag's a bit lame, but hearing that story makes me like it more.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. That relationship between Dr. Evil and Mini-Me is one of my favorite kind of running gags in the movie. Like, it feels like something that's... I feel like when you see improv or sketch performers who are young...
I do not.
Which...
I don't go to sketch or improv.
We always go to improv together.
Yes,
I mean, you cover your eyes. See? You're getting it, kid. The instinct for people is to often have antagonistic relationships with each other. But I think it's really a sign of maturity as a performer to have like love as the main comedy.
And there's like, nothing more mature than the relationship between Mike Myers and Vern Troyer.
Okay, I'm aware what I'm saying. But still, there's something kind of like...
I don't know if you are.
Ballsy
to
choose to make love funny.
But... by making that love, it is still an antagonistic relationship, because by making that a love relationship, Scott and Mini-Me are in it. Like, it's purely, they only love each other, so they hate each other.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Creates sibling rivalry, but it creates a family, just like this movie.
Do you think the joke about Fat Bastard eating babies came before or after? Like, did he say something about, like, seeing Mini-Me and going, oh, we should reshoot some things with me talking about how I want to eat a baby?
I was wondering that too.
Well, he's very fat, so I reckon he's got quite the appetite. And babies are quite big food.
Yeah.
If you think about it like that.
That's a heavy meal.
They're it's the turkey of people.
Wait, maybe... do you think a baby is...
You just put the most fucked Thanksgiving image in my head. Thank you very much.
It would look like that episode of Seinfeld with Kramer and the little, but it's a baby's head.
Oh god.
A live baby. A thing that you might have one day.
Goodness. Oh, I won't.
You won't?
I refuse.
Okay, cool.
But I think what makes Dr. Evil so special in this movie and why people connect to Dr. Evil so much is because he's the more relatable character than Austin Powers. Because Austin Powers is a superhero that who has the power to delight everyone. And his only bad quality is some physical stuff. And he's bad at games.
And he's a sex offender.
But he makes it cool.
I was like, if someone was to say to me, oh no, I'm out of the two characters, I relate more to Austin Powers, I'd be like, oh wow, you have really negative feelings towards women. Like, at least...
we've talked about this in the podcast. Austin is all about consent.
Yes.
He asks them first, do I make you horny?
Yeah.
And then he'll ask again, do I make you Randy? And if they say yes to both...
We may proceed with what has been foretold. Shagging, baby.
But if they're not, he backs away.
Yeah.
Sometimes. See,
he's quite the feminist.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, didn't you see Mike saved Heather Graham from a porn career? That's a feminist.
That is feminist. Also, he has a long-running relationship with Madonna for some reason. feminist icon. That's weird.
I want to do a whole episode about him
on
and
Mike
Madonna.
And Madonna. I find them so fascinating.
Me too.
But remember Mike's first on-screen kiss was Madonna. And they fully pash.
They really go for it.
SNL. Is that in the
Wayne's World?
The Wayne's World.
Yeah. And it's hot.
Have you thought about Mike Myers? Did you see years later, The Lonely Island did one with Lady Gaga, and it's like of them, like it's about a threesome or something, and it's really similar to that.
Yeah, they're ripping off Mike. See, his influence is far and wide.
Yeah.
He's a powerful comedian. But Dr. Evil, let's get back to it.
Sorry. I'm really bad at these types of podcasts because I just kind of veer off into other sections.
He is the more relatable character because he's just a guy trying to do his job who's a bit awkward, not very good at it, and he wants to be cool like Austin Powers is. So he goes back in time, soaps up his mojo, and then he gets the superpowers that is Austin Powers so he can kind of, you know, have actual fun in his life. And all the joke with Dr. Evil is about him trying to be this big guy trying to take over the world, but all these problems are in the day to day with his son, with his workplace.
It all started at university because he went there with Austin Powers.
Honestly, who throws a cupcake?
God, that?
That's from Goldmember.
From Dr. Goldmember.
Oh, God, I hate that fucking movie. Okay. No, you're right. I get you. I think he is the more relatable character in this movie, but I had heaps of fun watching this movie. I think it's Godfather 2 of comedies. I think it's somehow at least equals the first one.
I think I'm of the opinion that the first one is better, but I think this is a great sequel.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's The Godfather 2 in that, yes, it's a better movie than... It does what we as children hope to do to our parents, which is be better than them.
Mm. Yes.
But then our children are Goldmember, and they don't do so well.
They love gold.
Spoken like a true baby boomer. But I think if we are to look at how to measure art, the only way you can really measure it is by either how much energy it takes away from you or how much energy it gives you.
Mm.
And over the last few weeks when we watched Pete's Meteor and Thin Pink Line, I really got tapped out.
You lost your mojo.
I really lost my mojo on those. It took a lot of energy from these.
A fat Scottish man came and sucked cum out of you while you were frozen. Is that what you're saying? From watching those movies,
metaphorically,
you felt
maybe
a fat man came and
you'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Some juice out of your mojo gland.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, the only difference is the Pete's Meteor is an Irish movie, so
yeah,
a big Irish meteor circled my kerm up before I could really, really tap into it. But then watching this movie, it gave me so much energy.
Yeah.
Like, I felt great all day long after watching this movie.
I think you're right. As dumb as it is really enjoyable. Because it's so shameless. And I think there's something kind of infectious about how shameless it is.
I think that comes from... It was probably a lot of fun. When I was watching today, there were bits that I was like, fuck off. But there was also, throughout watching it all, I was like, this looks a lot... Like, it was really fun to make.
Like, every dance scene looks so fun.
You can kind of imagine it, like, as comedians. You can kind of imagine the writing. Like, you can look at a joke and be like, oh, I can kind of see how you came up with that, and that's kind of funny. It looked like it was fun to make. I think that's what, like, I always get energized by things when I'm like, God, that would have been really enjoyable on set. But then when you hear the rumors, maybe it wasn't.
I know, that's the thing.
Not about this movie, though. This seems like the pure collaboration. It's the energy of the stylists coming in, the director, the cast, the crew, everyone coming in together to just enhance the experience completely.
It's maybe the zenith of his career.
Mm.
Now, let me ask you guys a question, because the film ends in, I think, a rather horny way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Austin walking in on Felicity in bed after they've been married or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
I think they wouldn't get married.
They're together, though. Yeah. They've decided to be monogamous. And it turns out that she's in bed with Austin from 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
Past Austin?
Now, and then do they have a three-way?
Yeah.
And my next question is, if you guys could have a three-way with yourself and your partner, would you do it? Reese, please go first.
Yes, and have.
Holy shit.
Holy yeah. Mosey.
Which version of you was it?
It was...
Now Time Reese?
Yeah, it was Now Time Reese. No,
Balls
it was...
of Steel Reese?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, no, it was like 19-year-old me who was up for anything. That guy was everyone's friend. That guy was like your neighbor that had a Nintendo. Anyone was allowed to come over. Yeah, I probably would. Would you?
I think I would probably.
I'd like.
Would you fuck yourself, or would you just like?
I wouldn't be fucked by me. I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
But you would fuck the other version of you, and he's not allowed to have that opinion.
Maybe what I'd do is I'd watch future me fuck my boyfriend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like live porn that I could like interact with.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. But then I'm still, that's pretty narcissistic of me to want to watch myself.
I will probably hold hands with me and then just go for it. See where it goes, where the journey takes me.
Yeah, I reckon I'd do it.
Settle down, open a B&B.
Maybe. Yeah, that's fun. You could start a small business with your future you.
Yeah.
I reckon I'd probably just let future me deal with the missus, you know what I mean? And I'd just go out for a walk.
Would you make
I'd go for a walk around
Would
the
you
block.
Make future you transition and then marry future you?
At gunpoint. I'd make
now,
the transition.
How about this crazy theory? Because in the next movie, mm-hmm. no mention of Felicity or past or future.
True. Oh, I see.
Do you think Robert Wagner killed them?
Oh, allegedly. I don't want to say anything, but allegedly.
Do you think a bit that they filmed but deleted was Robert Wagner coming in drunk with a revolver and just shooting the two of them, and then
pushing
Austin kind of going, it. "Oh no," and then just going, wait a minute, I'm single again.
And then sexually assaulting everyone on the boat.
A montage of him on a yacht just in darkness, just driving into the middle of the water.
Using really both their hands to clap. Down,
slowed down version of Soul Bossa Nova. Just naked staring at the camera with no names covering his junk this time.
With a raging heart on.
Guys, we've checked it. We think it's great.
Well, we do. I don't know what Reese thinks.
Oh, look, it was fine. It didn't affect me. I feel unchanged, which is fine.
You don't want to change after just watching a comedy. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know. Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed it. At first, I'll be honest. In the first half an hour, I was like. Also, I think it's because I was so obsessed with them when I was little.
Yeah.
Mm.
I knew everything that was coming out. Like, I watched them every weekend. I had, like, I had a coffee table book that my mum bought me of, like, the Austin... And I looked for it today, and I can't find...
Same one.
The little, the kind of... Is it, like, a kind of rectangle?
Yeah, rectangle white. Yeah, the guide to the world of Austin Powers. Yeah, I've got it. I almost brought it today.
Yeah. That. Imagine if we both had it turned
on. Oh, my God.
So, I feel like, but there was... The little moments, like the... Yeah, I enjoyed the little moments that I hadn't remembered.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we can ask of you. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Talking with us.
Enjoy editing this.
Like, I think it'll be fine.
I'm not going to edit everything. I'm going to leave every accusation against Robert Wagner in.
In fact, cut out all the stuff that isn't liable.
Yeah.
And just keep it to just bad things.
I reckon Wagner won't find out about this.
Oh, no, he has Google.
I'm
going
to tweet at him, probably. Now, before we ask you to zip it, Reese, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Just you boys.
Okay.
Gosh. like comedy festivals are coming up.
Yeah.
You've got your own podcast?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well done. It's called Save the Date. We're in the process at the moment of my boyfriend. It's a podcast about marriage equality. But since that won't be happening for another... Like, in our minds, we thought it would be quite a short-lived podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll happen. So we're like, okay, well, now we need to think of a way that it's not only about marriage equality for the next possibly 5 years. So it'll end up being kind of... It's my boyfriend and I essentially trying to work out the world.
That's kind of what we're doing with our one.
Yeah,
yeah. We thought it was going to be short-lived, but here we are, episode 13, only 5 movies into it.
Woo! Oh, a thing that is on sale now it's not for months and months, but during Mardi Gras, City Mardi Gras, Joel Creasy and I are doing a games night at the Seymour Centre.
Oh, cool!
Awesome.
Pretty dumb.
That sounds fun.
Come to.
I
where
think
can
you
people
sold a ticket when you said it was dumb? I think you really sold it.
It'll be done. Well, we've got a whole bunch of celebrities. that are just going to play dumb games on stage, and we're going to throw things at them.
That sounds great.
That sounds awesome. Twitter, obviously.
Reese Nicholson.
Yeah, Facebook, all that shit. Yeah,
get on there.
Just look him up on ReeseNicholson.com.
There's a secret part of my website that if you click on the right bit, it takes you to a page of just pictures of young Angela Lansbury.
Oh.
So, I'm going to go hunting for
it. So go after that.
Right now.
Guys, thank you for listening to Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. I'm Alexi Toliopoulos, and you can find me on Twitter at This Is Alexi.
I'm Cameron. You can find me at I Am Cameron James. Is that what it is? Yep. I Am Cameron James.
We're on Twitter at Mic Check Pod. We're also on Facebook. We're having great convos about Mike there. People are sending us some great stuff. And if you liked what you heard, give us 5 stars on iTunes. And in your review, leave us the name, title, and concept for what you'd like our next super specific act based podcast to be. We've got some great ones in. Radelaide on iTunes said, I suggest Rise and Fall of the Phoenix. Each episode you compare the film of River and Joaquin Phoenix making River's Descent and his brother's rise. I think that's too good for something that we could do.
That's really good. Also like a movie that Ryan Murphy makes or something.
And it's like an NPR series.
And there's we got another one from Bung 89 on iTunes.
Alright, this sounds more up our alley already.
He already begins it with swing. So what about a Brendan Fraser podcast next? Fraser's Edge, Hell Fraser, what's this one? Phrasing the Bar, Set Frasers to Stun. I think that's a worthy one, Brendan Fraser. We need to find out why he's not on our screens.
I know why, but I'll tell you on the podcast, Fraser's Edge.
We'll see you there.
Never mind.
No, please.
Brendan Fraser is one of the... You know when you're looking on like BuzzFeed or something, or any kind of article, and down the bottom they have those ones that you...
From around the web?
Yeah, where you never like... You never click on that, because it's always... But they're always like, what happened? Brendan Fraser, I swear, is one of the main ones of
looking
like,
sad.
What happened to Brendan
it's
Fraser?
It's always him on a Vespa, completely bald, looking at the camera that he doesn't want to be seen.
It's him or Sean William Scott. It's Sean, like, why Hollywood won't cast them anymore? You have to read to believe it.
What about you watch every episode of Roseanne and call it Low Bar?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
But that's also too good for this.
Right. We'll have you back for that one. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. And always stay horny.
Bye, baby.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast.